Welcome to Main Street Banking, a podcast for community bankers brought to you by the Barrett School of Banking and ICBA Securities. My name is Byron Earnhardt, and I'm the programming director at Barrett. It is our mission here to serve the community banking industry with information that is informative, relevant, and hopefully we'll have a little fun along the way. So, from Memphis, Tennessee, home of banking, blues, and barbecue, welcome to our little corner of the community banking world. And we hope that we can make your bank, your staff, or maybe just even your day a better one.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Main Street Banking Podcast. Excited to go a little deeper into some of the digital engagement and the fintech side of things. But we're coming at it from a little bit different angle than before. Excited to have Kerry Ransom here, the Managing Director of Bank Tech Ventures, on the podcast. Going to take a different look at fintech from his perspective and how banks can get involved in that industry to help them boost their community bank. So, Kerry, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what Bank Tech Ventures does?
Thanks, Byron. It's great to be here. Happy New Year.
Same to you, buddy.
I am I'm super excited to join your podcast. As I mentioned, I've really enjoyed listening to several of them, and so feel very privileged to be here. With regard to your question, Bank Tech Ventures, we are a new venture fund, that venture capital fund that was established this past year in 2021, and very intentionally designed. And I think what got me excited to join and become the managing director was the team that had assembled around it, who are some of the biggest hearted community banking folks I've ever known or met. And I think people, many of whom you know and are friends with, had come together with this really clear purpose. And I think that's what excited me to join. And so the fund itself is really a vehicle for community banks to come together, invest together, learn together, and innovate within their banks together. And so a big part of our driving belief is that we're better together as a community than any one of the individual banks trying to figure all this out on their own.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I agree with you that as we started to do more fintech episodes, mm-hmm. I initially kind of pushed back on doing fintech episodes. Not because I have a problem with it. It was just that it's you can find fintech podcasts out there.
Sure.
There's a few of them out there. And so I tried to steer clear of that to build a niche. But in working with some of the people that we'll get into in the podcast and some of the groups, I found, like what you found, that they're very big hearted. I love that way you phrase that. They're very deeply rooted relationship people in the same way that community bankers are. And I found that relationship minded. It wasn't people out there just trying to steal data, make a buck, and move on down to the next one. Mm-hmm. And here's my new flashy gadget. Buy it. I'm going to steal your data and, you know, move on to the next bank. There were people that genuinely cared about the communities and the banks that they served. And so that's why we began to do more of that type of content, because I just found that in some respects, my initial perception was wrong, and I'm fine to admit I'm wrong. My wife will tell, you know, but I think there was a wide brush being painted with fintechs that I don't think that wasn't fair. And so that's why we're doing this. That's a little bit off the script. So I apologize for that. But
okay.
In our initial conversation, you described your fund as building and supporting an ecosystem. And mm-hmm. I love that. What did you mean by that? Explain what you were meaning by that.
Sure. Well, and I think it goes to what you were just saying, that, you know, as we think about bank technologies, that is a subset of financial technologies, right? I mean, there obviously are technologies getting built, for example, for the wealth management or other area, insurance. Some banks are in those spaces, but some are not. And, you know, things that are truly purposefully built to enable banks, specifically in our case, community banks, to address digital transformation, more efficient operations, new products and services that they can offer to their customers, are a very clear subset of capabilities out there. And so as we think about ecosystem there, we decided that our goal as a fund and as a group around that was to build, as I said, this big tent that would allow banks to participate and come in, not just as an investor in the fund, but as an active participant in engaging with the companies that we're meeting, the companies that we're choosing to invest in, maybe even the companies that we collectively as an ecosystem decide need to exist, and we may even need to create. And that is what we've really tried to put together, is an understanding of where are community banks today, where do many of them need to go in the future, what, and as I mentioned, you know, more efficient operations, more digital capabilities, new and evolving products and services, and what capability set do we need to have around us to be able to deliver that. And so that's how we thought about the ecosystem. So if you think about then the knowledge and the capabilities that we needed to have there, the beauty of our particular fund is I have two bank CEOs in my partnership with me who are operating banks on a day-by-day basis. And they're not just two people that happen to have the title of bank CEO, bank president. These are two of the most innovative in the country. One is Eric Sprink, who operates Coastal Community Bank. He's been very well known as one of the most active banking as a service bank CEOs over the last several years. And he's such a great giver to the community bank industry. He's been in banking for almost his entire career. He's been in community banking for a significant portion of that. And he is willing to share his experience in now working with a couple dozen fintech neobanks. And I happen to be involved in the very first neobank that he partnered with several years ago. He's willing to share his experience, his playbook, what they've learned, what they've stumbled on with any other bank CEO who wants to dip their toe into banking as a service. And so he's a perfect person to have involved because he is out on the front edge of where a lot of banks are thinking about how we should be working with fintechs, how we should be thinking about our quote unquote community in new and more open-minded ways, maybe beyond just the geography that we have historically tried to serve. So you have Eric, and then I have Carson Lapetito, who runs SunWest Bank. And Carson has taken a very different approach to innovation in that he has probably the biggest software development team of any $2 billion community bank in the country. He's been building technology for more than 5 years, more than half a decade, because when he sought to go really reinvent his bank several years ago, he went out into the market and he couldn't find anything out there that could solve and create the products and platform that he felt like needed to exist. So he had to go build it. And he's been quietly building it from within his bank. And now he's created a bunch of really interesting products for the commercial market that he serves and is willing to share his experience. And so the great thing, as someone who's not a banker, but has been in fintech for a long time, has been in software for over 20 years, like I have, and been making venture investments for most of that time, is that I have two readily available partners as pilot, as people to look at these startups that we look at from a very active and how is this relevant to our bank perspective. So it's very strategic from that standpoint. Then you add in the Venture Center and ICBA as partners in this as well. And we really have, as we think about it, this full life cycle ecosystem. So we're meeting a ton of bank technology startup companies that come to those banks, come to the Venture Center, come to the ICBA. We have mechanisms to really determine, are they relevant? Are they capable? Are they being run by great founders that have a true focus on community banks, like you and I were talking about a few minutes ago? And then can we be additive by being involved and by introducing them to the dozens on its way to hundreds of banks that are involved in bank tech ventures?
I love that. And obviously it was the first question I came out with you, was this idea of an ecosystem. You know, we talk to the banks a lot and try to and showcase companies that view themselves as either working within a bank's ecosystem down at the micro, compared to what you were saying, at the micro level within that one bank. But also, if their technology allows for it, to think more globally at the bank level, that seems to be the better fit between company and bank. Mm-hmm. But what you're talking about at the venture capital level, and at the investment level and the seed capital level, really goes hand in hand with that. And you mentioned the Venture Center and the ICBA and you know, their approach to that too, I really like. And as you said, you've done a good bit of work with the ICBA and our friends there and the friends at the Venture Center, Wayne and his team. Explain to us how that works. How does that relationship work and how community banks can benefit from that?
Sure. So, you know, at a couple levels from a relationship standpoint. So if you think about Bank Tech Ventures, we are a traditional venture capital fund in structure. So we have a general partnership and then we have limited partners. So the banks are limited partners in the fund, but again, part of this overall ecosystem. But the general partners are Eric Sprank, who I mentioned at Coastal, Carson at SunWest, Steve Hovde, who runs Hovde Group, which is one of the most active investment banks in the community banking space. Then Wayne, who runs the Venture Center, and then the ICBA. They're all general partners in this fund. So we have very aligned interest as a group to identify and start to do business with bank technology companies that we believe are best in class and are going to best serve the community banking industry. Then our limited partner banks are the people that we really wake up every day to serve. And we want to serve them by finding the companies that are, as we talk as a group, shovel ready to be deployable into their banks to move the needle. And so a lot of the work that we do, and you know, you see it in the way the Venture Center and the ICBA work together, is about understanding the companies, the problems they're trying to solve for banks, and then getting feedback from the banks on how accurately or clearly they understand that. And so the Venture Center's process, when you go in there as a technology company to go through their accelerator, is a big influence on how we look at opportunities in bank tech. And so one of our very first investments was a company that went through the Venture Center a few years ago. They got to know the founder very well. They got to see him perform by presenting what he was doing to dozens of banks. They've been able to then, through the relationship between him and the Venture Center, between him and ICBA, track his progress over the last few years. And then when he went to raise his round of capital a couple months ago, we had an opportunity to participate in that. And in that particular case, this was a cybersecurity company that's already working with well over 100 community banks across the country. He had considerable market interest in investing in his company, and we were able to participate because of the fact that we had that historical relationship. We had the desire to participate because we had seen him perform as a business operator for several years, and we were able to really, you know with a high degree of confidence that this is not only a great founder building a great company, but he's building a company that we want to invest in and own a significant piece of. And we think there's considerable upside to that. So for our banks, they get the stamp of, we really believe in this founder and this company, and we have case studies that he's really helped a lot of your contemporaries. We also are trying to give you a great return on the investment of your capital that you're trusting us with to invest. And so really there's a dual benefit that they get. And our partnership coming at this from a number of different angles gives us that confidence in how we make our decisions.
Hmm. And that's what appeals to me. Another thing that appeals to me about what you all do is, you know, having been a banker on the line, you know, a lot of at the loan officer level, and I think to some extent in the C-suites, you get really isolated, and you get, I won't say myopic, because you don't necessarily want it, but the paperwork, the ball games, the, I always make the joke, the junior high JV volleyball team.
Sure.
Needing a sponsorship and all the stuff that goes, that's important, that all the stuff that goes with it, just becomes so time consuming. So how do you go out there and invest? How do you know what, you know, who's good and who's not? Because I'm sure you can attest to this more than I, there's some bad junk out there.
That's right.
The technical term, bad junk.
Yes. Very technical.
Yeah, very technical. Yeah, I have nothing if not technical on this podcast. How do you know what's good and what's not? And to have folks like the ICBA, Venture Center, you providing vetting, providing sort of a firewall to that people can know and trust. And that's why I wanted to get y'all's story out there and say, hey, look, you know, that stuff, all that fintech talk you hear at conferences, it's being vetted. And this, having this sort of structure that's really grown up organically really arms the community banks to compete.
That's right.
With the bigger banks. You can, if you're a First National Bank in, you know, any town USA, you can now compete with the big boys and girls. And that is key driver. That eliminates that argument of we can't compete. The argument's being eliminated. And I think that's true on both sides, big banks and community banks. That's being taken out. I really, really appreciate y'all for growing that. And look, I mean, it provides us a great example of capitalism doing what it's supposed to do. People make money and do good too. So
that's right.
I always ask fintech folks and digital folks this question. I like to put them on the spot. All right. Get your crystal ball out.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your insight into where you see that fintech startup and community bank relationship go in the next 12, 24 months. Where are we headed?
Sure. I the way that I think about and why I got involved in this last year is I feel like the timing could not be better. And the reason for community banks, and the reason I say this is, you know, a couple points. First, COVID has been this great equalizer of how we have to sort of exist and live, right? I mean, there was a period where everybody was locked in and going, okay, well, no, I'm not going to live like this for very long. I want to move things forward. I want to move life forward. I want to move my business forward. And the banks that were saying banking happens within our four walls, they adapted. Everybody, you know, as some call it, digital deniers, they disappeared.
Right.
You had to. We all had to disappear, right? And I think what I took from that was, okay, that now there's been equalized. And I would say community banks even rose to the occasion for certain customer groups, in particular small businesses in their communities. The amount of PPP loans that community banks were able to deliver to the small business in their community was astounding. And I had a small business. I went to my bank and said, I want to apply for a PPP loan. And they said, we're not doing PPP loans. And guess what? I found a community bank in my community who did, and they got my business. And
there you go.
They, right. So all of a sudden, community bank said, hey, wait a second. We still have a role to play. We know we're going to have to go compete and be at least able to provide banking when and where people need it. And so that's sort of the backdrop for me. As I look forward, that's going to accelerate, but I look at the trust and the confidence that in many cases, community banks instilled in their communities, that should give them the confidence to keep going and say, okay, how do we build upon that? And that should allow us to go out and offer things new to our community that they've never seen before. So as an example, I think of things like embedded banking, embedded finance, and I say community banks in their communities should feel emboldened to go take that out to their customers and say, not only do you not need to do banking by just coming to us, let's take it to you. So if you're a business doing business to business transactions, and maybe historically we weren't involved, maybe there are new ways for us to actually help you do it better, faster, cheaper. And we have a role to play there. It could be on the payment side. It could be on the underwriting side. It could be on the data side, that there are a whole host of new products and services that we want to bring to community banks to then take through to their customers. And so we look at what they're going to be able to do over the next couple of years as really things that we're going to have to help them imagine, or if they're imagining it, help them make it reality. And as someone, as I said, who's been in and around technology for a long time, most of the technologies to do these kinds of things, they exist. They've existed for a while, and it's about bringing it together in a way that they can understand it, they can deliver it, they can manage it, their clients and customers can get full advantage from it. And so that's how we really think about where this can go. And in some cases, that will be fintechs in partnership. In other cases, these will be things that we think the community banks may be the first to take out to their markets because it just hasn't been on the mind of their clients, who only looked at them as a place to maybe deposit money or borrow money when and if they needed it. And so we want to help them increase the scope of the types of relationships that they can have, because they are the, as you think about community and, you know, fintechs in many cases have just been able to identify really narrow banded communities online. Community banks really get what it means to be a community participant at a level of depth that I think the fintechs often pretend but don't fully understand. And, well, and I think that that's what's exciting from my perspective, to help them reinvent or help them fully implement using technology, which I always say technology done right actually brings people together in more human, deeper ways. It's not pushing us apart. It's actually bringing us together. We have to help them have the confidence to do that.
100% agree. You were talking about being a Midwest pragmatist, and I'm sort of a Southern country boy pragmatist as well. So I don't write down a whole lot of quotes when I hear, but one of the ones I actually did write down and have it right here by my desk is Nikki Bowman at one of the ThinkTech launches. And I can't remember if it was last year or 2020. She talked about the potency of the possible. And I love that. And I thought when you were talking about what we learned in 2020, we learned it at Barrett, all those weird whiteboard ideas that we had. came off the whiteboard and they became the standard operating procedure.
That's right.
Banks did that. And we learned, hey, that crazy idea, and I live in crazy ideas, that crazy idea is possible and it worked. And we didn't blow up.
That's right.
And, you know, we actually grew. Hey, let's go try the next one. You know,
that's right.
I love that. And I appreciate you're saying.
Yes. Well, and I think the other thing that I'm hopeful for is I think about, you know, the crystal ball is I'm hopeful that that gives, as I said, the confidence and the willingness, but also, you know, a somewhat of a, it's okay to try things and not all of them have to work.
Right.
That, and even within the bank, like every decision can't be made at the top. They've got to get pushed down and innovation and new ideas need to come from everywhere in the organization. And that even some of those little things can be wins. So there is this, hopefully the tailwind of what's happened in I'm an optimist is how do we continue to build upon that and allow many in the organization to try new things and not take unnecessary risks, but to try new things and know that that's okay. And hey, this worked great. Let's keep going. Oh, this one was an interesting idea. It didn't work. What can we learn from that? And let's move on to the next one. And so I think that culture of change and innovation is one that we can hopefully build upon, because I'll tell you for sure, the you know, the digital deniers are gone. There still is somewhat of this idea of how do we go back to when COVID didn't exist? I think we've got to move past that and go, that's probably never going to happen. Let's figure out how to move forward as humans, because we have that resilience and ingenuity, but we've got to adopt a faster pace of how we react and deal with change, because it's not slowing down. The uncertainty is going to continue. The pace of change is going to only increase. We've got to get comfortable with working through that and being part of that and enjoying it. That's how we'll all be better together, because there is plenty.
Yes. I think, Carrie, unbeknownst to you, you probably earned yourself a comeback to the show, because the what you're talking about, culture and implementation, is a huge pulpit or soapbox for us here on the show. So congratulations for the assumptive close. Coming back, because when you were talking about it, I was like, oh, there's like 15 other questions, but I'm out of time. I mean, I 100% agree, Carrie, and I do want to have you back on to talk about that, because that's I think you're dead on right, and you know the devil is in the details on yes. those sort of things. So that's yeah, right. Congratulations, you're coming back.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again, man, for taking the time on the podcast and coming on and meeting with us. Tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you, or you know where they can learn more about the Bank Tech Ventures.
Sure. So we're banktechventures.com is our website. I am super active on social media. You can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, and we're any one of our partners. I mean, you know, many of your listeners, I'm sure, know Charles Potts at the ICBA or Wayne Miller at the Venture Center. I mentioned, you know, my other partners, Carson and Eric and Steve as well. And so you can reach out to any one of us, and we'd love to talk to you about what your technology initiatives are for your bank, or how you're thinking about innovation, and if we can support you in the relationship with Bank Tech Ventures, happy to do it. And we're already several investments in, and we've got some great companies, and happy to introduce anyone to those as well. And they could be great guests, as these are folks that also have a big heart for community banks and community banking. So thanks for having me, and I look forward to continuing the conversation, Byron.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks again, Carrie. We'll have the website on the show notes, so feel free to click on that and check us out on the show page there. We look forward to having Carrie back, talking more about, we're recording this before the ThinkTech launch. And so we'll be, but this will be dropping right at the day after. So check us out, check out Carrie, check out our social media for more information on that, the Venture Center's social media for more information on all that. So Carrie, thanks again. We'll definitely, as soon as we end this, we'll be talking about a follow-up. So appreciate your time today, man. Thank you.
Likewise. See you soon.
Well, that wraps up our episode for today. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss out on the latest episode. We'd also appreciate a 5-star rating as well, as that will help get the content out to more listeners. We appreciate ICBA Securities for their sponsorship, and if you would like to know more about quality investment products, services, and education at competitive prices, check out their website at icbasecurities.com. And finally, if you don't follow Barrett on our social media platforms, be sure to check us out on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook to stay up to date with all the cool new things that we've got coming up. And as always, from Memphis, Tennessee, the home of banking, blues, and barbecue, thanks again for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.